Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome back to r/pro revenge, where you'll hear stories about people getting their just desserts. Guys, this episode has three stories. The first, OP's car gets wrecked by some shady neighbors. The second story is a boss who lays his hands on OP in a super aggressive manner, and OP's friend comes to the rescue. And the last story is how OP and his classmates come together to take down a horrendous teacher. I hope you stay for the stories today and hit that subscribe button for future stories. Let's dive in. This happened shortly after college. So my mom's a retired disabled woman who now owns her house on a quiet residential cul-de-sac. She's lived there longer than anyone else. Her neighborhood has designated parking spaces at the end of the cul-de-sac, all with addresses of each house painted in the parking space. My mom doesn't get out much, so I use her designated parking space. At the time, we lived in the same city, and I came by weekly to bring groceries, fix broken things, cook for her, etc. My mom parked her car in the backyard of her house, since she went out so little. My mom's neighbor, Ivy, never parked well. Whenever I stopped by, her car was always parked so close to my car that I had to park on the curb. I wouldn't have cared about Ivy's piss-poor parking, but for two things. One, she had four or five kids and had parties almost every weekend, leaving trash in my mom's yard. Two, I loved my car. It was a 2016 metallic ice blue Dodge Challenger, Hellcat. The first car I've ever purchased, brand new. I washed that car once a week, detailed the interior, and had rules against eating, drinking, or even leaving trash in my car. It was my pride and joy. My mom had called the police throughout Ivy's residence because of parties. Ivy's friends would fill up the cul-de-sac with their cars, obstructing traffic, and get into loud, drunken fights at and after midnight. I often found empty beer bottles, empty condom wrappers, cigarette butts, and empty crack baggies on the fence between the properties, but it was mostly on Ivy's side of the fence. This is all important information. One Saturday while having dinner at mom's house, I hear a loud crash, and then my car alarm went off. I ran outside to see Ivy's older model Honda Accord back out of her parking space and speed down the street. Ivy's Accord had a dent from the front bumper to the door, and the headlight had popped out. I approached my Challenger with trepidation and screamed in anguish at what I saw. My car, my beautiful three-week-old car with less than 500 miles on it, had a dent stretching from the passenger's door to the front bumper, and the right front wheel was tilted at a 30-degree angle. I was livid. I called the police, filed an online claim with my insurance, and arranged for a tow truck to take my damaged car to a dealership. The estimated cost of repairs came out to about $6,500 US. I had a low insurance deductible, about $100, but my car was parked, and Ivy owed for the damages. For 2 weeks, I knocked on Ivy's door or waited for her to come home. She stopped driving her damaged Accord, and either rented or borrowed a Ford Fusion. When she was home, she didn't answer the door. When she wasn't, she stayed away until my rental car, a Dodge Charger, left my mom's parking space. I left a note on Ivy's door for her to call me, but only received harassing calls from restricted phone numbers or people blaring air horns in my ear when I answered. So, the revenge. About 2 weeks after the incident, Ivy's children came to my mom's house for some cookies. I noticed that two of them had bruises around their eyes. If Ivy hadn't hit my car, I still would have done what I did, but maybe not as underhandedly. I had my mom take pictures of all the children, but waited until the next party to strike. Ivy had a party that night, or the night after. Mom called to let me know, and I installed an app onto my phone that gave me a fake phone number. I called 911 and reported the party. I said, there's a loud party at 1007 Mountain Drive, and I'm worried because the children there are all around these drunken adults. Please hurry. Mom called to let me know the police arrived. I drove to her house and saw Ivy and her boyfriend Bane sitting in the back of a squad car. From a news broadcast that night, I found out that Bane had warrants for his arrest. Initially, the charges were disorderly conduct and disturbing the peace. However, my mom turned over the photos of the children, and less than a week later, Ivy and Bane were charged with abuse charges. I think Bane was charged with more severe charges, as well as for abusing Ivy's daughter. Either way, the children ended up in foster care, and Ivy and Bane ended up in prison. Guys, the moral of the story is, if you hit a parked car, own up to it, because you may lose your kids and go to jail. Anyways, guys, OP has an update on his Hellcat, since everybody in the comments was wondering if it got fixed or not. He said, "My car, I named her Nikki, was fixed after that accident. Unfortunately, in December of last year, a woman ran a stop sign and plowed into her at 45 miles per hour. The airbags deployed, and the structure was so badly damaged that Nikki was totaled out and was an insurance write-off." What a shame. My next-door neighbor used to have a Challenger Hellcat. I'm pretty sure he tuned it to like 800 horsepower or something, and always took it to the track. Those are wicked, badass cars.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I spent 2 years working for a particular boss who I'll call Dan. Dan was, and almost certainly still is, the most unacceptable human being that I've ever had the displeasure of encountering. He was a compulsive liar, a narcissist, short-tempered, unethical, unreasonable, unintelligent, and abusive. I once witnessed him spend half an hour shouting at a salesman for wearing shoes that Dan didn't approve of. Not inappropriate shoes, mind you, but the ones that Dan didn't like. The person in question could have gone home and changed his shoes in the time that Dan spent cursing him out and belittling him. This man not only assaulted me, but verbally and emotionally abused me for the better part of 2 years, and did everything in his power to keep me under his thumb. He constantly micromanaged me to the extent where he would just dictate what I should write in an email to a client. If it wasn't done exactly his way, it wasn't correct. I had to argue with him just to get a goddamn sick day, even though I'm legally entitled to one. I was woefully underpaid and on call 24/7. This made it difficult for me to find other employment and is one of the reasons I stayed as long as I did. He made my life absolutely miserable, and I developed a bit of a drinking problem as a result. I could go on and on about the things this man did, but this is pro-revenge, not bad bosses, so I'll get to the story. So one day, Dan and I had a disagreement about something. I was right, and had the emails to prove it, and I was frankly fed up with all his crap. I told him I wouldn't be going into work because I was taking a sick day. He proceeded to shove me down to the ground, as he's a big guy, and starts trying to strangle me. I was able to fend him off and escape, and after, I did file a police report. He actually had one of his other subordinates make a claim that the alleged assault didn't happen. Said subordinate wasn't there at the time, so false report. I naturally told everyone I knew. I told all his clients that contacted me afterward that I had filed a police report against him for assault. I specifically said it that way because unlike simply claiming that he assaulted me, telling people I filed a report was unarguably true and not slanderous. A very close family friend of mine, Carol, was naturally one of the first to hear about the assault. I left the country about a month later in search of better opportunities, but Carol remained. She became the chairman of the board of trustees for the body corporate of the neighborhood where Dan lived. And Carol set her sights on making Dan's life hell. Dan had a broken down car. It's been broken for over a year at that point, and he never had the money to fix it. And the rules of the neighborhood were changed to force broken down cars to be towed away. If the owner didn't tow it, the body corporate would, and charge the owner and fine them. So Dan was fined a few times. It wasn't small amounts either. And when he was fined, he did what he always does when things don't go his way. He threw a tantrum while having no leg to stand on. The tantrum in this case was several expletive-filled emails to the body corporate, which got him fined again for breaking the conduct code. This, combined with the loss of revenue for his business, has led him to not having any substantial income for over half a year now. He has no car, nor the money to buy one, and several of his big clients are definitely not going to renew contracts with him, and he appears to no longer have any staff employed. Nobody's seen anyone coming to his house in months now, and the body corporate is pressuring his landlord to evict him. I'm happily living in another country now, and got an awesome job that pays 20 times what working for him did. Guys, I dream of the day my crappy boss puts his hands on me so I can shut down his freaking company. He's a nice guy, I'm just kidding. So there's an update that OP posted, and the update says, I've been informed that Dan was found dead in his home. The police have determined that it was not accidental or natural death, but someone targeted him. The rest of the details are still unclear, but I can only presume he finally picked a fight with someone who could go toe-to-toe with him, and Dan lost. A bit of background first. My 8th grade year of middle school, we had one of the teachers leave at the very beginning of the year to go teach at another district. So the school's administration had to find a replacement in very little time, and about 2 weeks into the school year, they hired a teacher, who I'll call Miss E. Immediately, she gave off a vibe that screamed, I'm only nice when my boss is in the room. The next few months went by, and the majority of the students who had her as a teacher all agreed that she had no idea how to teach, nor did she make any effort to show students some respect. I'm talking daily incidents of her picking on the class, complaining about not getting work done, and then wasting 20 minutes of class time while complaining. Miss E was also the type of teacher to pick favorites and pick on kids who she didn't like as much. She absolutely hated me, as I often made a point to start messing with her during class after realizing what kind of person she really was. In May of that year, we were finishing a unit on a book and took a test on it. The test was created by Mrs. E and had a lot of errors in it. Some of the test questions referred to very small details of the book or contradictory story pieces that made no sense. We got the test back a week later, with the highest grade in the class being a 70%. This clearly isn't right, so a few of us went to talk to her about it, even showed evidence from the book that some of the questions she marked wrong happened to be right. Miss E refused to listen to any of us and told us all to sit down. She got up and went on about how she felt, word for word, personally attacked and undermined. And had something made up about how 2 points don't matter when our concern was focused on the whole test. The next thing she starts talking about is my personal grade, and how I went to her and attacked her about my grade. This went on for a while, mainly back and forth between me and her for about 2 days. At times, people would speak up and agree, but in the end, it turned out to be a debate between Miss E and I. So, what did we do? After the first day, as soon as I got home and turned on my computer, I opened Gmail and wrote about 4 pages worth of descriptions and complaints to our principal and the vice principal. I was brought down to the office the next day where I was given detention, written by Miss E, given for insubordination, intrusive undermining, and disrupting instruction. It was total BS, so I told him I wasn't going. He asked me to verify most of the information and elaborate on some of the incidents I described. His idea was to have me form a group of all the people involved and have us write a list of complaints and incidents from the class, and if everything cleared up, I'd get off without punishment. As a group of about 10 students, we wrote 17 pages of grievances and evidence that Miss E was clearly not fit for teaching middle school students. The principals read it all at once, and for the next week, instead of class time, we worked on other classes while the principal interviewed everyone in the class, including Miss E. After it was all over, Miss E was required to give a formal apology, where she spouted some fake tears and a BS written up apology that ignored the majority of the problems that we were actually referring to. My detention was waived, and the next year, she was no longer teaching in our school district. And that brings us to an end of r/pro revenge. Guys, if you didn't catch the last episode of r/pro revenge, OP gets access to his boss's computer and finds images that lands the boss some jail time for a very, very long time. So go check it out if you haven't, and I'll see you guys in the next one.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.